last week, we I've been trying to do a series, if you remember, The King is Coming. And then we took a slight detour last week with a word I really didn't even get to preach it because things just went a little crazy. But I preached the word, it's not over. How many of you might remember, it's not over. And I didn't really even get very far, although I preached a little bit of the word, Michelle, but I didn't really preach what I had planned. And so that word has still been sort of burning in my heart. I almost went another direction, but it's still been burning in my heart, but I'm going to use a totally different text. Last week, I used the text about Lazarus, and we even talked about the Valley of Dry Bones, believe it or not, and then I ended up bringing that into end times somehow at the end and reminding you that it's not over yet. Boy, you all are so excited and shouting back today. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Oh, Lord, help us out, right, Jim? We need to light a fire. We sang that song, Set a Fire. And so I'm going to pick up with that word today because it's still been on my heart. Maybe it's just because you need encourage. Maybe you just need to build up today. Maybe you just need a little word to realize that it's not over. How many of you know sometimes when it looks like it's over, it's not? And so we need a reminder that God is still at work. He's still working on you and I. He's still at work within us and in our midst. Amen. He's still working in our nation. And so it's not over. And so sometimes we just need that reminder that it's not over. And I was thinking back to a familiar, really, story in the Word of God in Daniel chapter 3. And Lord, time has gotten away from us today. But Daniel chapter 3, that's where we're going to go. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to look there for a little bit this morning. Daniel chapter 3. Some of you might remember it and know it well. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. See, some of you have read your word. It's not over. I don't know why we're going to spend more time on this, but we're going to trust in the Lord today that He always knows what's best. Last week, after we were done and the message, several people stood back and shared and it was what they needed to hear for such a time as this. And one young man pulled me in the office and cried and cried and cried and just left us know that God was speaking directly to him, if to nobody else. So how many know God knows what you need when you need it? Yes? Amen. So we're going to trust in him today that he knows what we need when we need it. Hallelujah. Before we go into the word, can we just pray? Can we just pray and just break through today? In the name of Jesus, no hindrance, no weapon of the enemy formed against us would prosper. Amen. No thing but that the word of the Lord will come forth today, how he desires and has designed it to go and penetrate our hearts. Amen. Father, we need you in this moment. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, God, recognizing that, Lord, without you, Lord, this is just simply a club. God, without you and your presence, Lord, that we're just another Lions Club. God, we're just another organization. But, Father, I pray today, Lord, that we call upon your name. Lord, we desire you and your word. God, we desire, Lord, your presence. God, the power of your presence be real in this place today. God, we need you. And, God, I pray today that you would release your anointing throughout this room. And that, Father, that you would do and accomplish, Lord, everything that you desire. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, God, every hindrance be broken. God, that, Lord, even your word says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. So, Lord, everything that would try to strangulate and distract and hinder us, God, today from hearing your word, from receiving it. God, every religious spirit that would rear its head. God, every spirit defying and coming against the very word of God. We call that to naught and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray for liberty today. We pray today that, God, there would just be an open heaven over this place. God, as we bring forth your word, as we trust in you, and we come forth with your word now, God, have your way. God, release your anointing over your word. Anoint, God, this place and over me, God, as we bring it forth. I pray, open our ears that we hear, our spirits to receive it. And, God, let there be manifest change in our life in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray today. Amen. Amen. Let's go. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to read just a couple of verses. I may skip around a little bit. We'll see. Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready. All right, I'm going to keep you awake today one way or the other. Amen. Look at this, verse 10 of Daniel chapter 3. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. I like their response. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Can you just pause there for a moment? How many of you know sometimes some wisdom we can get from this text is sometimes there's just no need for you to say anything. Sometimes the best thing you can do is keep silent. Amen. We always want to have something to say. But I learned from this, sometimes the best thing to do is keep silent. Can every husband in this place say amen? Amen. Yeah. It's true. There are times where there's nothing you're going to say is going to change someone's mind or change the outcome anyway. And they knew this. They said, "There, we have no need to even answer you in this matter." Look at verse 17. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Watch this. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace be seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into that burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, king. He looked and he answered and he says, but I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We were going to read on, but we're going to stop right there. He said, I see four men burning in the midst of the fire. The one part that I want to back up to that we're going to spend some time on or a little time on today is in verse 16 and 17. Verse 17, when he says, if that's true, and that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not... But if not, they said he is able, that he will deliver, but if not, amen. I want to spend more time today on this word, it's not over. Will you say that out loud with me? It's not over. I mean, say it like you believe it, somebody. It's not over. When you and I look at our life, when we look at our nation, when we look at our kids, when we look at situations that we've prayed about and there has been no change or no turnaround, no adjustment at all, not even a course correction, the word of the Lord that he wants to remind you and I again and continue on today is that it is not over. It is not over. God's not done yet. It's not over until God says it's over. And it's not over. This is just one. And there's a host of examples that we could pull from all throughout the word. Last week we looked at Lazarus and his passing and his dying, and then we even referenced the Valley of Dry Bones, and we could talk about Paul and Silas, and we could talk about Daniel in the lion's den, we could talk about Moses, we could talk about Joshua, we could go all through the word and find examples where it looked like things were turning out one way and then God shows up, or then God unleashes something miraculous, or his power is demonstrated. Amen. And that as we're reading along, oftentimes it looked like there is one outcome only to find that there is another. Often that's exactly what our lives are like, that we're living life and often it looks like it's going to be one way only for it to turn out another way. I know I can hear it coming back to me, well, then you haven't lived my life. Because some of us have been through things that we wanted it to turn out differently. We were hoping for a change, but maybe it didn't. Amen. That's true. Sometimes it just doesn't turn out or look like, or you don't get the change that you expect. But I do want to let you know that even if you thought that it was over, it's not over. That's the word of the Lord for you and I today. Even though there are some things that may appear to be over right now, God's letting you know that it's not over. Just because we have an unrepentant and heathen of a child doesn't mean it's over. Amen. Just because we are battling one thing physically doesn't mean that it's over. I'm grateful and thankful for doctors. Somebody emailed me this week and shared with me the news of a doctor, and I just replied back with all due respect, I love and appreciate doctors, but I rebuke their word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because oftentimes you and I have to realize that it's not over. Thank you for dealing in facts, but in the body of Christ, we deal in truth. And there's a difference between fact and truth always. The truth of God's words will often defy facts. Facts are what doctors give. Facts are what the media are supposed to operate off of. But truth is what you and I operate off of in the Word of God. Meaning there doesn't have to be any scientific basis for truth. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to add up the way that we want it to. That's how awesome God is. That's why our faith is so important when it comes to the things of God. That's why in this hour, in this time, now more than ever, we've got to be a people of faith, looking over our communities and our nation and our families and our churches and decreeing a thing and believing that it will be established, believing that God's not done yet, believing that we've been through hell and back, but that God is saying to you and I, it's not over. Amen. Some of us have lost some things. We've lost some people. We've lost some relationships. We've dealt with health issues and financial issues or whatever it may be. But the word of the Lord, he wants to remind you and I that it's not over. Hallelujah. That oftentimes the thing that's trying to destroy us is often really what God wants to use to bless us. That's total truth. The very thing that often is trying to destroy you and come after you, God will use to bless you. That's true. I love the word of God, and we quote it oftentimes. We often quote out of the book Isaiah, and it says, no weapon formed against me would prosper. Right? I hear people quote it all the time. We quote it in prayer time. We'll quote it in the midst of going through a difficult time when the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But what we have to remember about the Word of God is it does not say that the weapons will not be formed. It says that the weapons will be formed, they just won't prosper. In other words, there will be enemies that come after us. There will be problems that rise in our homes and our families and our lives. There will be problems in our nation and our church and even our family. So he's saying no weapon formed against you. He's saying there are going to be problems that arise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We need to learn to thank God for problems when they show up. When you empty your pocket and you realize there's nothing in there, thank God. Right? When you go to get money out of the bank and it says denied, thank God. Right? Why is nobody thanking God? Y'all are so quiet today. This isn't the First United Presbyterian of the Church of the Roman Catholic Church, is it? All right. This is Fresh Fire Church. Did I come to the right address? All right. And there needs to be a little fire in our lives today. Hallelujah. Glory. We need to give him thanks and praise in all things. It doesn't mean that weapons won't be formed. That's why when a best friend or family member turns on you, just thank God for the weapon formed. But just know that what God's word says is that it won't prosper. Let them do, let them try, let the enemy attempt to do. Let that, you know, when the bus went down and we're thinking, Lord, we're already into this thing thousands of dollars. You know, I know some of y'all were panicking. I hear everything. And people were like, man, we just need to, you know, whatever. And yet the Lord says, just because a weapon is formed against you does not mean that it'll prosper. It doesn't mean that it'll prosper, right? That there will always be problems. But if you and I will maintain and persist with the eye of faith, seeing and believing what God has said, either God said it or he didn't. But we oftentimes want to change what we believe based on circumstances. Oh, ye of little faith. You know what I've learned? When you can't trust God based on circumstances, then your faith hasn't been tested. And if your faith hasn't been tested, then you can't be trusted. Oh, that's good today. I'm just preaching off the cuff a little for you because I'm running out of time and I figure, well, I'll just give them the summary. When your moods change based on events, you're not a person of faith. Come on, I know we live in a society where for every mood change, we need a pill. And sometimes that's necessary for a period. Hello. I've been on anxiety meds throughout my life. I'm not anymore because Jesus is the deliverer. Amen. Mom can remember the time we were trying to do the play, You'll Never Walk Alone. And I decided I was going to run the whole thing. This is before I was full-time pastor. I was just an AP. And I thought, we're going to do this play. And I think there was a cast of like 50-some people. It was a big play. It was a big undertaking. And I was in a heck of a state emotionally. And I wasn't on medication, but I was in and out of the ER and the hospital all the time with all these anxiety attacks. I thought I was dying. I was so anxious and would get so worked up. And I remember the one night we were in the midst of, we were coming down to the wire of opening night. And I think we had done that play a couple of nights in a row. And so we were planned. The place was packed out front to back, balcony, everything. And we were ready to go. And everything that could go wrong was going wrong. I mean, everybody was forgetting their lines. They weren't making their costume changes, the smoke and fog lights. And everybody that could screw up was screwing up. You know what I mean? And I was getting irritated and frustrated. I was getting anxious, and I thought, this is never going to come together. We open in like 14 days. You all need to get it together. And it didn't matter if I screamed or yelled or what I did. I was losing my mind, and we were in the middle of trying to wrap up the first take of it all, and I hit the floor. And I remember my sister and dad and mom, everybody was there, and it was burning up hot, and I was stressing out, and I was sweating profusely, and I had no energy. And I hit the floor. They carried me back to the office. And when I came to, they had the air conditioners blowing. People were standing around me, fanning me, trying to get me cooled down. And I was trembling like this. Because I was so anxious and so out of my mind, not able or willing or had the ability to trust in God for anything, because I was too much into my flesh. Thinking that I had to control everything and that everything had to be go through me. I know none of y'all are like that, you bunch of control freaks. Thinking I had to make every decision, know about everything, control everything. And when I came to, I was just like this. And people were around me praying. Some of them were praying in tongues. There were others trying to give me a word. And all I kept thinking was, shut up. All in my mind, that's the only thing I wanted to tell all these so-called spiritual people was, shut up. What I really needed was somebody to get a revelation from God and know how to pray. Don't pray over me. don't pray that this thing subside, but like miracle working power, like delivering power. I ended up going to the doctor and they put me on Effexor. I'll never forget it. I was like a walking zombie. I had no emotion, no feeling. I could, if you cut yourself, I didn't care. I couldn't feel. I was just numb. I was on that stuff for months, months. Finally, after about a year, and I started leveling out and calming down, I got a word of the Lord in church. Someone gave me a word, not knowing anything that had been going on. I went to my doctor the next day, and I said, we've got to do something. I can't live like this. I said, I'm numb. I'm miserable. I have no feeling. I said, I don't even feel human anymore. Maybe somebody else in this place knows what I'm talking about. And I said, I don't want to be on this stuff. And they said, well, you can't just quit it. I said, I'm not saying it. I said, but let's go. I said, my God is my deliverer. Never forget it. She's still my doctor today. Dr. Bristenowitz. She thought I was cuckoo. And I said, no, we're going to back this thing down. I said, I have to get off of this stuff. So we slowly backed it off just to see what the results would be. And the results were, I was normal. That was the results. There were no residual effect. Please hear me. I'm not telling you to get off medication. I'm not telling you, unless you know that you know that you know and it's a word from God, do what you got to do. I only got off it because I had a word from God and I used good godly wisdom to do it. What I'm saying is that I was allowing myself to operate so much into my flesh, my fleshly, what I felt, what I heard, what I saw, all of those things, my five senses, that I had not the ability to trust God when God was using me to try to teach others about faith. It was a great big lesson in my life. And so many times we're operating so much within our five senses that we're not operating at all within our spirit. Not at all about what the word spirit of the what the word of the Lord is saying to you and I. And so what God's word was he wasn't done yet. God's answer wasn't a pill for me. God's answer was demonstrating his how great a deliverer that he was. God's answer for you and I is let him demonstrate to you the great deliverer that he is. So ultimately it ended up that God used me mightily and has used me mightily to be able to share that testimony to people that can trust God enough and realize that everything else in this life isn't the answer, but Jesus really is our deliverer. He really is awesome, as we sang earlier. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Amen. He can do all of these things. That's who he is. It's not over. And so my answer wasn't found in a pill. It wasn't found in a play. It wasn't found in a whole bunch of people coming around me and praying and doing all kinds of things. My answer was found in him, in a word that came from somebody else some months later. I couldn't be depressed in the moment while on medication or depressed in the moment while I was having anxiety attacks. All God was trying to say at that moment is, hang on, Adam, it's not over. Oftentimes we'll look at different methods as defeat. No, that's just God saying, hey, it's not over. I'm not done demonstrating my miracle working power. I'm not done demonstrating and showing you just how big and bad and awesome your God is. That's what God's trying to demonstrate to you and I. Challenges and things will come. Bad days happen. Right? But we need to begin to look at it with the eye of faith and just say, hey, I'm trusting that God is not over. I'm not going to allow what's happening in my life or what somebody is doing to me to control my emotions and my attitude. Hello. God wants us to be more spiritual minded than that. I was bringing the bus back from the mechanic and, you know, somebody ran right into the side of me the other day, right here on 40. Every blood cell in my body wanted to come up out of that seat. I'm telling you, in fact, I did scream, but I thought, woman, I'm bigger than you. She was in a tiny Toyota Prius. I keep my eye out for her. You know, she hit me and ran, and she took off. I said, if I was not in this bus, I would chase you and find you, hunt you down, and God will help you if I don't have the mind of Christ when I get to you. I know none of you all are ever like that. Y'all are just better people than I am. Hallelujah. So the rest of the way to the church, I prayed, God, please don't let there be major damage to this bus. And there wasn't. We're bigger, badder, and harder. Well, I think we crunched her up, though. But she took off. I could have allowed that thing right there to put me into a state and lose my mind and allow it to destroy my whole day. And oftentimes, as Christians, we do. But I have learned that when God says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, he means it. That's why when you and I get a diagnosis from a doctor, or we're having a bad day, or we're struggling with depression, or we're dealing with things in our family, when God says all things work together, he really does mean it. And we've got to give him praise and trust in him and remember that what he says is true, because it's not over. I've learned that just because there's a storm in my life doesn't indicate the absence of who God is. The presence of problems and storms never indicates the absence of God. Some of you have heard me say that, because he's an awesome God. This was a period in time in Scripture. I'm not going to have the time to get into the depths of the story, but this is a time and period in Scripture when God needed good men to stand up. I believe this is a time in our nation where God needs good men and women to stand up. I believe that to be true. God needs some of us just to be willing to be able to stand up for what needs to be stood up for. This was a time in Scripture in Daniel 3 where God needed some good men to stand up. And what I've learned is that when trouble strikes, when the worst of time comes, the reason is because God always sends his best men into the worst of times. You and I need to count it all joy for what times we are living in right now, because you are part of some of God's best men and women. Yes, ladies, you're a part of the plan of God. All the things that are happening around the world and the end times and throughout our nation and the persecution of the church that has already begun. You need to understand you are a part of the best people of God to be a part of it. And therefore, we need to celebrate and realize that it's not over yet. God's using you and I for part of his plan. Hallelujah. But God needs to have you and I be a people that we can stand up to what we have to stand up to. I said earlier that the time for politically being correct and being nice and cute is over. It's over. It's time that you and I understand that we have to take the violent by force, the Bible says, right? There's a time where we have to just reach out, grab, and do and possess what God has called us to possess and do. It's a time that the people of God stand up and be counted. Don't shy away from what needs to be said and done. And we definitely can't shy away from truth. Preaching truth. God's not done yet. I believe our nation is in for a rude awakening, a shock above all shocks, on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm serious. If you will have an ear and you'll get tuned into the things of God, then you will know God is up to something. Something is happening. There's a stirring. There's a cultivating under the surface of things. God is up to something bigger than all of us put together. And when God is done, and when he is able to see, I told you, it wasn't over. The world and even a lot of the church is going to be like, whoa. Because they're going to find it hard to believe when they see all that God is putting together today. I believe that. God's using some extraordinary methods, I believe, right now. Doing all that needs to be done. Putting things together. Coming together for his benefit, for the glory of God. Look at what the text said there in verse 17. I got to hit this because... boy, I'm going to run out of time, so I got to give you at least some of the word I intended to give you, right? Are you still with me? All right. Mom's asleep back there. Hallelujah. Look at what he said in verse 16. He said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. But if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver." I underline that in my Bible. The God that we serve is able to deliver. Notice they knew in the God that they served right from the start. They're being faced with being thrown in a fiery furnace. The Bible says 7 times hotter than it normally is. They were going to burn alive. And their response is, "We have no need to answer you." I mean, imagine getting pulled over by the popo and them confronting you about something, and your answer is, "I know none of y'all get pulled over by the popo, and I know no Christians ever had anything in their car they shouldn't have." Mm-hmm. The devil and you are a liar. Hallelujah. That is true. We all got a past. Mine's just longer than yours. Hallelujah. Probably is. No, listen to me. He says, and he is able to deliver. But their first response is, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Because they trusted in God enough that they knew it doesn't matter what we say, it's not going to change the outcome. He knew that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. He knew that in order for this man to be able to really hear the word of God, he had to be able to see the word of God in action. Because this man was an unbeliever. And so he goes on to say that we trust that God is, that he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and that he will deliver us. Boy, does our prayer life, when we pray to God and we're facing issues, do we sound like that? Do we really sound like, well, I just know that God is able and that he will deliver? No, we pray, I would you just pray with me that God will help us through this? That's how we talk. We don't talk and confess and pray like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we know that he is able and that he will. And then they go on to say, but if he does not, they're cool with that too. I mean, some of us, when we're praying and asking something of God, you need God to give an answer, but you are not okay if he doesn't. Right? When I get desperate for God to move, I want him to move in the way that I've asked him to move, and I expect it to happen pronto. And when he doesn't, I get disappointed. My response isn't, and if you don't, Lord, I'll praise you anyway. We often don't do that. When things aren't going our way, we start freaking out and losing faith and all of those things. Hallelujah. Here they are in the midst of facing a fiery furnace, and their faith wasn't denying facts. Their faith was just changing them. Our faith has to be so in tune with God that it's not going to change the facts of what a situation is, but our faith does have the ability to change them. They knew in whom the God that they served, and so they weren't afraid of the flames of a fiery furnace. They said, we're going to be all right, because it's not about us, but and we trust in the God that we serve. More than we trust in you, your ability, more than we believe in the flames of this fire, we believe in our God. Think about that. More than the flames that they could feel. And remember, the Bible said that the flames were so hot that the men that were putting them in the fire were killed. Uh-huh. It's like Prego. It's in there. I read that already. They're dead. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing around watching these guys drop to the ground because of the heat and it killing them instantly. And here they are having to go in the midst. Look, their faith, they were trusting in God more than they believed in the very fire that they could feel and sense with their own bodies. Think about that. That's the kind of faith God wants you and I to have in our life right now, that despite what we feel in our body, come on somebody, God says, I want you to believe in me more than you do the pain that you feel. I want you to believe in me more than my eyes aren't working. God says, Adam, I need you to believe in me more than you do the glasses that you depend on to see with even your contacts. Right? God wants you and I to believe in him, that we know that God is able and that he will deliver, but yet have the same attitude like these three men that said, but and even if you don't, Lord, I'll give you praise. I'll give you glory. See, we'll wake up and feel pain, and you'll believe in that pain in your body. You'll believe in a news report, a news alert. I get up every morning, and there's some kind of news alert because the world's losing its mind. And I can see those things, and my faith can be more in those or more in what my body feels than what God, than who God is. We've got to be able to trust in God more than we do our checkbook. Oh, there's a lot of so-called Christians, you believe more in your bank account than you do your God. It is your God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I know y'all don't like that too much. Preacher, don't start talking about money. I know. Don't talk about money, preacher, because, you know, all the Christians be lining up playing for that big $1 billion Powerball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gone. Y'all were sad when you didn't win. Don't pretend like you weren't playing, because you'll trust in that more than you will God being your provider in the Word of God. Oh, yes. There's a lot of people that are trying to serve God, say they believe in God, and they're trusting in things like that way more than they ever will God being their provider. Hallelujah. And then the preacher starts talking about giving to the Lord, pressed down, shaken together, and oh, that preacher's money hungry. No, it's the best investment plan there is. It'll reap the greatest results more than the casino ever will. Oh, yes. That's right. Amen, preacher. It's true. We'll give God a little and go waste hundreds of thousands of dollars thinking that we'll have a better chance there. No, the word of God's give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You say, well, it's hard to believe that. So you believe in a machine more than God. Oh, I'm preaching good today. These are things that we don't want to hear, but it's truth and it happens in the body of Christ. God's saying, I need you to trust me. It's not over. Whether it's a machine or a pain in our body or the balance in a checkbook or things that are going on in our world, right now is not a time for you and I and the church to lose our mind and stop believing and holding on to faith. We've got to hold on to it. That's all that we have right now. It's God saying, hey, it's not over yet. I'm not done yet. What I've learned about faith and what I've learned about even through this very story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that faith is one of those things. Faith must always pass the test of discouragement. Oftentimes, you and I are put in positions where our faith has to pass the test of discouragement. Anybody ever been discouraged? In order for you to elevate in the things of God and go deeper in God, your faith will always have to pass the test of discouragement. Meaning you're going to be confronted with something and either you can choose to be down and out or realize I'm going to believe God more than what I'm seeing with my own natural eye. You and I in this church, we have often, even when it came down to the bus, you and I have got to believe God beyond what we see with our natural eye. For over 10 years, this church has believed God by faith more than what we saw with our natural eye. Always, over and over and over again, and still people doubt God. Still people will even doubt me when I say that we're going to do something crazy, that we're going to believe God for something. And we'll choose to get discouraged over it. Hallelujah. God's saying, no, your faith has to always test the path of discouragement. And if you're choosing to be discouraged instead of being in faith, that's another indication we're walking in our flesh, not in the spirit. We're walking by, hallelujah. We're walking by our senses. You're believing what you see more than what God has said. God needs a people who can believe without seeing. God needs a people who, without hearing or believing anything else, that will stand on the word of God above all else. That's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here standing just outside the heat of the furnace could feel the heat, see other people perish because of the heat and the flames, and yet still being people of faith. Still saying he will, that God, that he is able, that he will deliver, but if he does not, that's cool too. I'll praise you anyhow. Hallelujah. These three men were people, they were men who didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn because they operated in real faith. They weren't denying the existence of the furnace. It wasn't like they're saying, oh, this furnace doesn't exist. A lot of times as Christians, I've hear a lot of super spiritual people, the way they talk, it makes it sound like the problem doesn't even exist. That's crazy, right? If you're broke, the problem exists. Hello? If your body is in pain, don't tell me the problem doesn't exist. Because I will step out in the flesh, perhaps, and let you feel some of the pain that I feel. Right? That's not what God's saying. Real faith is not denying that the problem exists. It just denies that the problem has a place of influence in my life. Meaning that real faith, what they were saying, these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they were saying is they're not denying that the furnace exists. They're just saying it's not going to control me. It's not going to cause me to operate in fear. It's not going to ruin my day. That they said their response was what? That he is able, that he will deliver, and if he does not, we'll praise him anyway. That was their, they weren't denying that it existed. You and I cannot deny that problems exist, that trouble comes, that pain is in our body. We can't deny the existence of a doctor's report. But what we can do is stand on who God says that he is. Amen. Who he says is more powerful than anything else, because it's truth. It's not fact. Thank you, Jesus. And so what faith does is faith becomes the bridge between where I am and where I want to go. They knew that. They said, whether even if we perish, faith is going to be our bridge for what God is going to do through this. Hallelujah. Because they knew that faith is about believing. They knew it was about believing. They knew that it will come to pass. They knew in the God that they served more than anything else. They knew that if God brought them to this position in this place, that what? You've heard it. Then he'll bring you through it. You and I've got to trust and believe that if God has brought you to this moment and time in your life, that he will bring you through it. Why? Because it's not. Oh, boy. I'm so glad we're excited about the word of God. For everybody online, if you didn't hear that, I said it's not, and they go over. Praise God. I hope some people, when they see it on TV, will be like shouting at the TV. It's not over. Because they trusted and believed in that more than anything else. They knew that God wasn't done. God wants you and I to be that kind of people right now, that we can trust and believe that it's not over. What does even Isaiah 43 say? That he'll be with us when we pass through the rivers and the deep waters and even the fire, that we will not be burned. Why? Because it's not over. I mean, he's saying trouble will come. Don't deny the presence of trouble, but know that it's not over for me. That God is setting you and I up for a miracle. That's what he's saying. And so the Bible says, I got to summarize all of this. The Bible says that they get thrown into the fire. We read the text. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, looks over at some of his other buddies and says, hey, did we not put 3 men in the fire? He's saying, I see something I'm not believing. Because when you and I will operate in faith, it will cause people to see things that might be hard for them to believe. And so he said, did we not put 3 men in the furnace? And the servants around him say, yeah, we put 3 men in the furnace. What was his response? He said, then why do I see 4 men? Right. And the response goes on to say, I see a 4th man in the fire, and the one looks like the image of the Son of God. It's reminding you and I that if you and I will be a people of faith, right, if we will be a people of faith, that God is with us. That's why he promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. It lets you and I know that we can't be so affected and moved and let our moods be switched by what is going on around us, but be men and women of faith, trusting and relying and leaning on him, right? That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He will direct your paths. Because he is always with us. And so the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar goes over to the edge of the furnace, right? And he calls them out. He calls them out by name. Right? Hello. And the Bible goes on to say in the part that we read, that when he calls them out and they come out of the furnace, not only were they alive, but the Bible says that their trousers weren't singed. Their hair was not singed. And it goes on to say, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Think about how awesome God is. God is wanting you and I. He's saying that there are things that you and I will have to go through in this life. There are coming hard times. If you don't believe me, just hang on just for a little bit. Difficult and harder times are coming. We are in the last days of this earth. And so difficult times are going to come. And God needs a people who can hang on and be a people of faith. Be a people that can speak truth in the face of opposition, like these 3 boys did to King Nebuchadnezzar, and look at him and say, we really don't even have to answer you. Look at him and defy even the effects of a fire and what it would do to them. They come walking out, and they're puzzled by the fact that, realizing in that moment, King Nebuchadnezzar realizes that their God is real. He realized in that moment the power that is behind the God that they were worshiping, the God that they were talking about. Hallelujah. And so oftentimes it's what you and I are going through that's going to cause the impact on other people around us. Not just your faith, not just your breakthrough, but the people around us. God needs us now more than ever to be a people of faith. It's not hopeless. It's not over. It's not the end. It's not your life isn't going down the tubes unless you let it. This is not a time for you and I to be wimping and crying around about what we've lost and what we're going through. I'm not trying to be insensitive or hard. I'm just saying everybody in this room is going through something. Buck up, get your faith together, put your pants on like I did today, and let's get through this thing together. Because God is with you, the Bible says. He is for you. He's not against you. He said no weapon formed against you will prosper. If you will be a people of faith, he said the weapons are going to come. People are going to try to take you down. Your health will fail you. You might lose some money along the way. You might even lose your job, but it will not prosper. God's saying, trust in me more than you do your job. I am your resource. Trust in me to take care of your health more than you do the pill, more than you do the doctor, more than you do your therapy. Are you hearing me today? It's about either we are going to believe in him and trust in him or we are not. God needs a people that he can rely and lean on. God needs a people that we're not going to move or bend or break. These boys didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they didn't burn. And the only way you and I are not going to bend, bow, or burn like they did is if we know in whom the God that we serve. I know and I trust in who he is. I believe on him and his word above all else. But you are in the situation you are in right now. You are facing, and we are facing as a church, what we are facing to say, do you believe him? Do you believe that he is able? Do you believe that he will? And if he doesn't, will you praise him anyhow? That's the question. Because I really believe the real church of Jesus Christ is about to rise and come forth. See, the Bible says in the last days, even the elect will be deceived. And boy, I see a lot of churchy church people getting deceived. Oh, I'm serious. I got preachers calling and asking. I had a preacher ask me a question this week. I thought, you don't know that? What you preaching for? Because we're being deceived by everything that isn't truth. If we allow ourselves, we'll be deceived by the media. Yeah, I'm going to go there just for a minute. If we allow ourselves, we'll be deceived by politicians, the lying, heathen, hypocritical politicians that they all are. Hallelujah. If we allow ourselves, we'll be deceived by our own circumstance. And God needs a people that we will trust and rely on his word and his word alone, trusting that he's our healer. Trusting that he will bring you through and bring you out. Trusting that he will bring you through all kinds of hell and situation. And yet you are going to come out of it just like these Hebrew boys did. And they didn't smell like smoke. That's not the greatest part of the story, though. The greatest part of the story, I think, a lot of preachers focus on that. You know, it's great and they didn't even come out like smoke. Yeah, but the greatest thing, I think, to get to that point was the attitude that they had before they ever even went. Was the position of faith that they had. That's the real climax of the story, is they weren't affected when the winds blowed and the seasons changed and when their team loses. Any of those things, they're not affected by it. God needs you and I. I'm telling you, I have set forth a trajectory for this year that is like any other year we have ever faced. So just get ready. The things that we need to accomplish and how quickly and how much money it's going to take. I mean, y'all are going to lose your mind. And it is going to require you to believe in the word of God above all else. Amen. It is going to require you to. It is going to challenge you. It is going to look you and stare you back in the face like you look at yourself in the mirror. But it's going to cause you to say either I believe in God or I don't. Just remember that, Lois. I made her pay the bill for the bus. She about vapor locked. But she's ready. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you and I have to be ready for all things. We say we believe God for anything, but let me just prove this to you. We say we believe God that he can do, like the Hebrew boys. He is able. He will deliver. right? But even when it comes to something like that, a $3,400 bill, church people go. Because we don't believe. Let me just say it. The reason we have a hard time with it is because you don't believe that he will. You don't believe that he is able. And you're not willing to have the right attitude even if he does not. So we'll operate. Oh, it got quiet quick, Michelle. Did you hear that? So the reason we have a problem spending money and big bills and having big things and all of those things is because we, at the bottom of it all, we don't really believe in who he is. Believe in our ability more than we do who he is. Why? After all of the things that God has brought you through. I mean, look at where you are today. Some of us in this room are here because God is a God of a second, a third, a fourth chance. Because he's a God of forgiveness. Because he overlooks my mess and realizes that there's something more valuable in me than all the messes I've created in this world. And so we're able to sit here in a moment like this and realize, man, God, I lost that. I lost a child. I look back over my life and I realize I didn't just lose one, I lost two kids. If you've ever lost a kid, you understand. He's brought me through anxiety and depression. He'll bring you through addiction. He'll bring you through the dark voice in your head that starts talking to you. Come on, somebody. And give you the ability to overcome it and overcome it once in a while. He's God that'll bring you through absolute being broke and poverty and bring you to a place where you may not have everything, but God has allowed you to be blessed. And you can look there and you can say, I don't have a lot, but my bills are paid. Thank you, Jesus. And so then we'll come here and we'll be in a situation like this, and where God is needing to take you this year, the challenges that face us as a church, let alone as an individual, is going to cause you and it's going to force you to either believe God or not. That's what the end times are going to do. They separate the wheat from the tare, meaning the stuff that's worth anything and the stuff that isn't. There's a separating and there's been a sifting going on in the church. I have a lot of pastor friends say, oh, I wish I could have a good church attendance. Just relax. Be cool. We've gone through so many siftings as a church. There have been times I get up on a Sunday, I'm like preaching to a row. And God was doing a sifting. And I look back now, I'm like, Lord, just sift anytime you feel pleased. I'm cool. I'm good. Why? Because I trust in him more than I do what I see. Why? Because I know it's not over. It's not over. Last week I told you that it wasn't over because he loved you enough to be late. Sometimes God will show up late. What seems late to us, but it's always right on time. Are you hearing me? Church, it's not over, but who and what are you going to believe in more? Don't deny the existence of the problem. Don't deny it. But just walk in faith enough to believe that God is who he says he is. And if we're going to spend time coming together and worshiping and feeding the hungry like we do and have enormous claws and all these things because we're trying to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and you don't think he cares about you, then you've got to surround yourself with a whole new group of people because somebody's telling you something that does not belong. In confidence, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, facing death and the fiery furnace, said he is able and he will. You need to know today that he is able and that he will. Amen? He is able and he will. Will you stand to your feet? I got to stop there. Got to. I had stuff I wanted to say to you. Can you believe it? Say this with me. Say, he is able. And he will. Say it again. He is able. And he will. Can we just keep saying that? He is able. And he will. He is able. And he will. I want you to really believe that today. I want you to really believe that. I don't know who it's for, but I know it was for somebody. Even as I preached it, I could sense it. But yet I could at the same time sense doubt in the midst of a heart in our lives, but I want you to know that God is able and that he will deliver. Last week, I gave a quick altar call, and I said every person that needs to be able to believe that it's not over and been faced with difficult times, come and stand, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to do it again this week, because I believe that we can't never pray too much to encourage one another. I'm not legally allowed to lay hands on y'all because of COVID, but I trust in God more than I trust in even my own ability and who I am. But if you are one of those people and you just want to believe by faith today, you're willing to stand in faith with me and say it's not over, that we're going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that we're going to believe that he is able and that he will. Will you come and just stand with me, and we're going to close in prayer in a moment. I want you to also, if you're one of those people and you say, I'm willing to just walk out in a position of faith like never before, I want you, and I said earlier that God's going to use us great. Get ready. God didn't give us all that he has given us. He didn't give us a bus that seats so many people. He didn't give us that school. And somebody asked me on the bus coming down, how many acres is behind that school? I said, 10. Oh, wow, I didn't believe it. I didn't know it was that much. Because we serve a God that is more than enough. So get ready, church. God's going to make us believe him for something big over there. And when it's all said and done, everybody in that community, everybody in our county who thinks they can think what they want to think about us and how crazy we are, we're a bunch of tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, crazy people. You know what? They can think it now, but God says, it's not over. It's not over. When we get through this year, we're going to be able to stand back and just see the salvation of the Lord over it all. The greatness of our God. And so if you need to believe that it's not over for your life, you're enduring a situation that's challenging, it's difficult, or you're willing just to stand in faith with me today and believe what God's going to do for this ministry and for the future, and for the future for your life, don't stand alone where you are. I just heard the Lord say, why are you going to stand back there alone when you are never alone with me? God wants you to agree and just stand in faith in this moment. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray together and believe God today. In this moment, it's not over. It's not over yet. It's not over for your family. It's not over in any capacity. The best is yet to come. And if you'll hang on and you'll believe, he's going to blow your mind. Receive the word of the Lord today. If you and I were faced with a fiery furnace experience, most of us would expect to burn. Because that's the condition of the church. I'm just going to say it plain and clear. The condition of the church is we believe in the flames more than we do the power of our God. But I want to remind you that he is able and that he will. Because it's not over yet. You want to come and pray? Hallelujah. Pastor Michelle is going to come and close in prayer and pray over you. A blessing. Pray for a breakthrough. I want you to have the mindset right now to receive. Right where you stand, right where you sit, people at home, to receive healing. That's the God that we serve. Come on. I'm tired of seeing God's people suffer in pain. I'm tired of seeing God's people having to get surgeries that are unnecessary. I've watched God heal and grow feet and legs. I've watched God cause cancerous growths fall off of faces. I've watched God do miraculous things. He'll do it right now. He'll do it right now. I've watched God deliver people instantly from all kinds of addictions and various things. He'll do it right now. But you need to believe that it's not over. You need to believe, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he is able and he will. So receive right now as she prays. Receive right now as she prays. And when we leave this place and when we click off the internet, we're going to give our offering and our tithe on the way out. We don't do it at the end because it's not important. We do it at the end. For a number of reasons, but as you give, I want you to give to the Lord today and believe that it will be blessed. Pressed down, shaken together, running over and given back to you. Receive of the Lord as she prays, would you?
Hallelujah. Holy God, we praise you, God. We exalt you, God. We believe you, God. We're thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, just that we have a God that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, that is trustworthy and true, that is everything that we need. I pray and I ask you, Lord God, even before we start praying for needs, Lord God, I praise you that you have made us a people that can stand. I thank you, Lord God, that whenever the fiery furnace comes our way, whenever all these things, Lord God, that we're faced with comes our way, you've already prepared us. You've gone before us, Lord God. We already know we can stand in that fire because we know that you're faithful. We have a testimony to show that whenever everything has been stripped away from us, we still have you, God. We're thankful, Lord, that we're not going to be afraid of what can be taken from us because we have the one thing that can never be removed. The one thing, Lord God, that can never be removed. And I pray for each person right now within the sound of my voice that if they do not know what that is, if they do not know what that means, that they will find out what that means. Because sometimes we look at life and we look at it as to what we've lost or what we're afraid we're going to lose. But some of us in this room, we know what it's like to have nothing. We know what it's like to have those things that we relied on, that we've relied on for strength to be stripped away. And you know what, Lord God? You were still there. You were still there, and you will always be there. So we will not bow. We will not bow no matter what comes our way. And Lord God, I just pray for the strength of your Holy Spirit to stand with us in a day whenever that would come to pass. Whenever we're faced with the decision of whether we bow or whether we don't bow. I thank you, God, that you have given us some even if people, that even if everything goes dark, that even if every person leaves us, even if we get some crazy disease that was set forth by some crazy country, even if those things happen, we will not bow. We won't bow. We won't bow because we know that if we live is Christ, to die is gain. It doesn't matter. What are you going to take? What could they take from us? If we have Jesus, I thank you, God, for the warriors that you have sent in this time period. I thank you, Lord God, for those even if soldiers, those ones that are birthed by fire, the way that Pastor Adam said, the ones that have been in the fire already and know that Jesus is faithful. I thank you, God. I thank you for your healing touch over every person in this room, over every person in the sound of my voice, Lord God. I thank you that you are our healer and you are our deliverer and you are our provider and you are everything that your word says that you are and more. I thank you, God. I thank you for those ones that come to you now, Lord God, and they just want to be certain of who you are. They want to be certain that they know that they have the Lord on their side. I pray for those ones, Lord God, that are teetering back and forth and don't know which way to go. Lord God, I pray that you would direct them straight to your throne room. I thank you for everything, Lord God, that's happened in our life that has prepared us for this time. And Lord God, we just lift up right now. We lift up each person that comes to you with a need. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you are already healing, that you're healing body parts, Lord God, that people are believing for right now. That you're healing mental things that are going on in their mind, Lord God, and the places that the enemy has tried to come against them in their mind. We thank you, Lord God, that those are taken away right now. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for those ones that are turning to you right now and saying, I need you to be my deliverer, Lord God. I need you to be my deliverer. And I receive that deliverance from you right now because I can't do this without you. And God, I praise you. We praise you together, Lord. We praise you for marriages that are being restored right now. We praise you, Lord God, for finances that are being replenished because you, Lord God, you have everything in the palm of your hand and we will have everything that we need because we have you, Lord God, because we are children of the Lord God, Most High God. And God, I ask you to go with us as we leave this place and that every seed that the enemy would try to steal away, Lord God, that you would protect that you would nourish that, Lord God, in each of us. Help us, God, be a light. Help us, Lord God, be able to be your mouthpiece, Lord God, in a place that is dark. Help us be a light. Speak to us, Lord God, and speak through us. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for this pastor and these people, Father, that they are a chosen generation, that we are a chosen generation. And we have you as our leader. We'll follow you anywhere. Help us never to bow to anyone but you. In Jesus' name.